It's the Swamp Swami Audio Podcast.
Gee, Mom, do I have to?
Sports commentary and a little lanyap, too.
Where are you going, Wally?
Dad's gonna play golf. I'm gonna caddy for him.
Gee, can I go along? I'd like to do that. What's a caddy?
Live Golf Files Chapter 11. Is this the end or just the next chapter? Troubled Live Golf finally filed its long-awaited Chapter 11 bankruptcy paperwork on Tuesday in a New Jersey court. A Chapter 11 bankruptcy attempts to restructure the company's debts but also allows the entity to continue operations. A Chapter 7 bankruptcy, though, that usually signals the white flag of financial surrender. The Saudi Public Investment Fund spent upwards of $6 billion to sign PGA golf stars and then bankrolled dozens of worldwide golf events over the last 5 years. The Saudi Public Investment Fund then decided to turn off the money printing machine operated by Live Golf at the end of this past August. The upstart golf league is now desperately shaking the financial bushes, searching to find new sources of financing. They want to relaunch the golf league in 2027 as Live Golf 2.0. After the Saudi Public Investment Fund announced that it was pulling the financial plug in August, Live Golf appointed some new executives to its board. Their resumes are filled with corporate restructuring experience. They truly have their work cut out for them, though. Eugene Davis is one of the new leaders. He is the CEO of privately held Pyrenate Consulting Group, which specializes in corporate turnarounds. Live Golf named this 71-year-old Davis as the chairman of the Independent Directors Committee a few months ago. You'll find his name listed all over this week's Live Golf Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing. Davis said earlier this year, quote, "Live Golf has built a global league with passionate fans, world-class talent, and demonstrated commercial momentum. And his new management team is intent on launching Live 2.0 in 2027. In order for Live 2.0 to begin, classic Live Golf has a lot of debtors that they need to settle up with. Tuesday's Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing listed Live Golf's assets of more than $100 million, but less than $500 million. But the liabilities show more than $500 million, but less than $1 billion due its creditors. So let's go ahead and take the worst case here. Let's assume that Live Golf has $100 million in assets and $1 billion in liabilities. That would mean that creditors might have to receive perhaps as little as 10 cents on the dollar in value. But that value won't necessarily come in cash either. Some creditors may be receiving a proportional share of the ownership of a newly emerging golf entity. Nearly half of the top 30 creditors owed the most money by Live Golf are, surprisingly, the golfers. All seven of the top names listed on the IOU list are actually Live golfers. Number one was John Rahm with $7.5 million due him. Number two, Bryson DeChambeau, $5.8 million. Number three was Dustin Johnson with $5.5 million. Number four, Cam Smith, $4.8 million. Then Adrian Meronk at $4.4 million. Terrell Hatton, $3.4 million. And in number seven place comes Bubba Watson at $3.3 million. Now, other golfers are also owed big money by Classic Live, and they include number 9 Abraham Anser at 2.7, Ben Ahn comes in number 10, 1.8 million, Brooks Koepka was 12th at 1.7, we'll talk about him in a minute, Caleb Surratt at number 17 with 1.3 million, Joaquin Niemann number 18 at 1.3 million, Lucas Herbert comes in 24th with 1 million owed, as does Tom McKibben, who? At number 27 with $1 million owed to him. Now these IOUs for the 14 golfers appeared under the heading Player Participation Agreements. Live Golf signed most of its pro golfers from either the PGA Tour or the DP, formerly European Golf Tour. Their individual contracts are very private. These player participation agreements likely require each Live golfer to participate in each of the Live Golf events during the golf season. Now, Brooks Koepka was number 12 on the IOU list at $1.7 million, but he negotiated an exit from Live Golf after the 2025 golf season ended, and he returned to the PGA Tour this year in 26. But perhaps Koepka's exit agreement with Live Golf may have included some form of deferred compensation which would be paid to him in 2026 or a future year. Now for John Rahm, who signed with Live Golf for an amazing $300 million, and Bryson DeChambeau, who signed for $125 million, the remaining money owed to each of them, though important, is a relatively small percentage of their original package. But not all golfers signed by LIV Golf became filthy rich immediately. For some, like Northern Ireland's Tom McKibben, who's owed $1 million, that amount owed by LIV Golf is a significant percentage of his original $5 million contract. McKibben told reporters recently that he remains under LIV Golf's contract for a few more years. Tom McKibben and several other LIV golfers have been participating this fall on the DP World Tour while they're waiting on LIV Golf's restructuring efforts. He and several other LIV golfers, including former world number one John Rahm, are going to be forced to make a decision really soon. The DP World Tour announced that it will not allow LIV golfers to play on both tours beginning in 2027. The golfers must choose one league and stick with it for the entire season. Now, LIV Golf's Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing this week might nudge some players like Tom McKibben to cut their losses with LIV Golf and return to the lower-paying but more financially secure DP World Tour in 2027. A glaring omission, though, where was Phil Mickelson's name in this filing? The list of top 30 creditors in LIV Golf's Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing did not mention Phil Mickelson. He became LIV Golf's first big-name star to bolt the PGA Tour and join LIV in 2022. His contract with the new golf league was reportedly worth $200 million. The lefty participated on the LIV Golf Tour for the first four seasons ending in 2025. His contractual obligations to LIV Golf might have ended at that time. He did not play in LIV Golf events during 2026, though he was citing an ongoing medical issue involving a close family member. And welcome to the LIV Golf bankruptcy filing, State of Louisiana. Yes, another notable party owed a significant amount of money is the State of Louisiana. They came in number 20 at $1.22 million. LIV Golf was originally slated to play a golf tournament beginning on June 25th this year at the newly renovated City Park Golf Course in New Orleans. A local TV station in the Crescent City reported that City Park had received $2 million in state government funding to upgrade its golf course and facilities ahead of this proposed LIV Golf event. Another $1 million was reportedly advanced to LIV Golf by the state as part of the deal. Oh no! The New Orleans LIV Golf Tournament event was postponed in late April. No reasons were given. There had been speculation that LIV Golf was attempting to reschedule this tournament for this fall. But after Tuesday's Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing, there is a 0% chance that LIV Golf will be hosting any event in New Orleans this fall. Well, what else was in that LIV Golf Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing? Well, I'll tell you. Tuesday's Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing told you a lot about LIV Golf's financial pickle. I was a bit surprised to see that the Saudi Public Investment Fund was willing to loan them nearly $50 million today to LIV Golf as debtor in possession. That means you're supposed to be paid back first after bankruptcy. Now, that money should be used to help LIV Golf stay afloat for a few more months as they try to acquire and implement new sources of funding going forward. There were an amazing 56, count 'em, LIV Golf corporate entities listed on the bankruptcy filing. Those names included seven which began with the term LIV Golf, like LIV Golf Inc., LIV Golf Holdings, you get it. Another eight entities began with the golf term Wedge. That's pretty clever, kinda. And then there were 13 consecutively numbered entities such as Fairway TM Blocker 1 LLC. And another 13 LIV entities using the consecutively numbered names as Fairway TM Intermediate Number 1 LLC on this bankruptcy filing. 13. LIV Golf conducted exactly 13 tournaments in 2026. Does that mean that each tournament has its own separate corporate entity to account for tournament revenues and expenses? Probably so. LIV Golf's corporate structure makes you wonder if they had planned for a possible future financial failure, like bankruptcy, from the very beginning. So what's next for LIV Golf? Tuesday's LIV Golf bankruptcy filing also contains some information concerning the identity of at least one new source of future funding. Private equity company BC Partners says that they are willing to invest up to $300 million if LIV Golf 2.0 gets off the ground in 2027. Now keep in mind that the Saudi Public Investment Fund lost $1 billion every year with LIV Golf.
Sell, sell, sell!
LIV 2.0 is going to need to drastically cut its tournament payouts and other operating expenses by at least 50% so that the new investor or investors will have any chance of becoming successful. LIV Golf's ever-optimistic CEO Scott O'Neill chimed in on Tuesday, quote, "The next phase of LIV Golf will be built around a sustainable business model and deeper alignment between the players and the league, with team golf at its core." His press release mentioned LIV Golf 2.0 would expand to 75 players on the course next year and introduce a cut line during each event. And you can expect to hear that same on-course thump, thump, thumping music blaring again in 2027. Oh yeah, party on, Garth. The CEO is proud to announce that LIV Golf's average audience is about 20 years younger than the PGA Tour's Medicare-aged viewers. LIV Golf should deserve some credit also for admitting children under 12 years of age free of charge into every one of their golf tournaments. CEO Scott O'Neill is paid handsomely, though, to speak lovingly about his golf product. So let's file this away. The truth remains that LIV's worldwide golf events played across vastly different time zones makes for a very difficult television sell to U.S.-based advertisers. LIV Golf's lack of a consistent TV starting time and a weekly TV channel in the United States, and yes, I am talking to you, Fox Sports, makes it hard to imagine how this league is going to earn enough TV revenue to turn the financial corner. As mentioned in a previous post, keep your eye out on top LIV golfer John Rahm this fall. If he bolts to play in the DP World Tour in 2027, a massive exodus of top LIV golf talent is sure to follow. LIV Golf lives, at least for now. I'm Swamp Swami.